What would happen if you were to fend for yourself? Now, I don't mean have you watched enough Bear Grylls to survive if your plane crashes as you go off on holiday. I mean, as we face the world's battles, how would you fare on your own? As you face the hostility of the world towards God's people, how would you do if you were alone? As Jesus prepared to be arrested and killed, he pointed out that those who follow him, just like he, would have enemies, those who hate him. Those who say he is Lord and Savior and King will have trouble. Those who follow the God of the Bible have always had enemies, because God has enemies. And it isn't just enemies out there. We also have the enemy of sin to contend with within ourselves. It tempts us to live against the Lord, to betray Jesus and his ways. How would you do in the fight against sin on your own? And what about the great enemy that faces us all, from the strongest to the weakest, the richest to the poorest, the great enemy of death? How do we face this alone? How will we fare against death by ourselves? What would happen if you were to fend for yourself? Well, as the psalmist wrote the song we're looking at tonight, he had in mind the many times that the Lord, like the Lord's people, had looked like they might be destroyed. The Lord was opposed and his people might be destroyed. And he remembers and sings that the Lord delivers his people, that he does not leave them alone. They do not fend for themselves. And the psalmist invites all who follow the Lord to join in with this song as he rejoices that despite the mighty enemies, God delivers his people. My first point tonight is this: remember that the Lord does not leave us to fight alone. Remember that the Lord does not leave us to fight alone. Look with me at the start, right in verse 1. The psalmist, the songwriter behind the 124, sets the scene. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Then, just as the singer on the stage at Glastonbury, he invites everyone to join in. Let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. He wants Israel to remember. He wants them to remember the difference that belonging to the Lord has made. He wants God's people to remember what it means to belong to Yahweh, the name rendered in our Bibles as Lord. He wants us to remember, what does it mean to know the promise-making, promise-keeping, always loving God of the Bible? And if he had not been with them, if they had not been his people, what would have happened to them? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when the people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. In short, if the Lord had not been on their side, they wouldn't have stood a chance. Swallowed up, swept away, covered over. That would have been their lot. As they escaped from Egypt and found themselves trapped between the raging armies of Pharaoh and the raging waters of the Red Sea, they would have been doomed if the Lord had not provided a rescue. As they entered the promised land under the leadership of God's mighty warrior Joshua, when they faced the great walled cities of its inhabitants, even with a great leader, they would have been crushed at the first if the Lord had not been on their side. As they existed as a relatively small nation, surrounded by a great many powerful adversaries. Rather than flourishing, they would have been overrun if the Lord had not been on their side, if they had not been God's people. Last October, as a family, we spent a week in Cornwall. And one evening, as we drove home, we stopped off at the little cove by our house. I decided that I wanted to swim. Before I did, my son, aged 5 at the time, said he wanted to come in the sea too. The cove was very popular with surfers, so you get an idea of what the waves were like. To begin with, Joshua just ran around in the shallow edges where the waves lapped at the sand. But slowly he wanted to go deeper and deeper. Eventually he wanted me to pick him up so that he could see the waves crashing close up. Suddenly, out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a rather large swell coming our way. So I held Joshua in all the more tightly. I turned my back to the incoming wave, and sure enough, a huge wave crashed into my back. I dramatically adjusted my balance to save being knocked over. And at that point, Joshua had had enough. Despite only really getting a little wetter than he had expected, he knew if his dad had not been there, he would now have been swept away. He was powerless against the mighty waves, and that was enough for him to want to join his mum sensibly back on the dry sand. And that's the picture here in Psalm 124. The songwriter takes this humble stance. He acknowledges that on their own, he, along with the Lord's people, would have been swept away at a moment's notice. But the Lord is on their side. The Lord delivers his people from mighty enemies. Remember, the Lord doesn't leave us to fight alone. And it's the same with the church today, isn't it? As we look back through the history of the church, we could have just been swept away. God's people could be lost. Could have been overrun and covered over. The one who started it all, Jesus himself, was murdered by the authorities in his 30s. That could have been that, had it not been that Jesus was God's own son, had it not been the plan from all eternity past for him to be raised by God's power to new life. Then the disciples, that rabble, misfit bunch of tax collectors and fishermen, most of them, it seems, were executed for following Jesus. And then came state-sponsored persecution by the emperors. And even today, dictators all around the world try to wash the church away, to swallow it up alive. And yet it continues to grow because the Lord does not leave us to fight alone. It's not because we're clever or sneaky. It's not because people come round to our way of thinking. It's not because people just hold their hands up and say, yeah, I guess we should just let them carry on. No, in spite of the fact that the world around continues to fight against God's people today, the Lord doesn't leave us to fight alone. He delivers his people from their mighty enemies. And of course, the people of God is made up of individuals, isn't it? And as individuals, what will become of us as enemies rise up against us? We should go on trusting the Lord. Remember that he does not leave us to fight alone. Sometimes those enemies will be those who seek to bring Christians down for believing the Bible and living in accordance with it. I wonder if you remember the Asher's Bakery case. Family-run business that stood firmly on biblical principles surrounding marriage. And they publicly proclaimed that they were doing so because they believed Jesus was Lord, that he was the one seated on the throne. And what happened to them? Well, despite being taken from court to court in ever-escalating case over gay rights and legalization of gay marriage, eventually they won the fight. And they still continue to bake, I'm sure, delicious cakes to this day. The Lord delivered his people from mighty enemies. But we also know there's no certainty of those kind of battles in this life, don't we? Just because God delivers his people from their mighty enemies, it doesn't mean every time we're opposed, we're going to win. Many who have gone before us, many all around the world today, have lost everything in this life following Jesus. They've lost jobs and homes and loved ones, even their own lives. So what about this idea that the Lord delivers his people in those cases? Well, again, back to the Asher's Bakery case. When they lost their first appeal, Daniel MacArthur, owner of the bakery, stood outside the court and stated these words: "We are thankful to God and his faithfulness. He is still on the throne. He is the ruler of heaven and earth. He is our God, and we worship and honor him." Amazing words in the face of defeat. Even though they had lost the earthly battle, even though it appeared God's enemies had won, they still remembered and clung to God's faithfulness. Why? Well, clearly revealed in other statements they made, they understood that one day God will deliver all his people from all their enemies. God will hold on to his people as others face his just judgments. The Lord will wash away his enemies, but deliver and hold on to his people. By nature and choice, we are all God's enemies. And one day we will all stand before him. We will all face the final flood of his judgment. And as Jesus said, those who have built their lives on the shifting sands of this world will find that they are washed away. But those who have heard and received the wonderful life-giving words of Jesus, those who trust in him for their future, for their salvation, they will find that they are not washed away, but are in fact standing firm on the rock. Even if we lose everything in this world, ultimately the Lord will deliver his people from their mighty enemies of sin and death and the world. Because the Lord does not leave us to fight alone. And notice the wonderful past tense nature of every phrase in this psalm, always looking backwards. We can be sure because the Lord has done it. We remember because it is already done. And we reach into verse 6, into sort of the second half of the song, and to my second point. The theme of the song in these verses remains the same. The Lord delivers his people from their enemies. But the metaphors shift from water to hunting. And the angle changes from the fact that the Lord doesn't leave us alone to the fact that the Lord overcomes our enemies for us. So my second point, remember that the Lord overcomes our enemies for us. We've seen what would have happened without God's help. But now the songwriter shows us what God has done to protect his people. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. The enemies now are described as those actively pursuing God's people, like lions hunting antelope. But again, God's goodness to his people is shown. He delivers them. They do not end up as lunch. What about when enemies are more cunning? When perhaps they don't just pursue, but set traps for God's people? Well, on into the next verse. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. The song's refrain comes again loud and clear. The Lord delivers his people from their mighty enemies. Even when cunning traps are set, the Lord delivers his people from their enemies. Though helpless as birds, the Lord's people are safe. Remember, the Lord overcomes our enemies for us. Not only have the people escaped, note the snare, the enemy's weapons, are broken. Echoing stories hinted at by the watery theme above. It is not just that God's people were saved from Pharaoh's army as they passed through the Red Sea. If you remember, as the God's people passed through the Red Sea safely on the dry land, Pharaoh's army was swallowed up by the same waters through which they had just escaped. The Pharaoh's armies were defeated. The people were saved from the snare, for the snare lay broken on the shore. In the same way for us today, as we look at Jesus, our great rescuer, remember that he's defeated our greatest enemy, Satan. It was Satan who deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, and through that deception brought sin into the world, and along with it, death to all people. But as Jesus hung and died on that cross all those years ago, he died for the sin of all who would trust in him. He defeated Satan. But what's more, Jesus didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again. And in doing so, he broke Satan's great snare, the snare of death. And although we all still face death today, we do not need to fear it if we are trusting in Jesus. For those who are trusting in Jesus, that snare can no longer close around us because he has broken it. In Jesus' own words, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He has broken the snare of death. It cannot close around us because it is broken. The psalmist encourages all God's people to join in with this song. And today, if we're following Jesus, we can join in with the song too. What a joy. We can remind ourselves and encourage others by literally singing about the good news. The good news that Jesus is our hope. The good news that Jesus has died and risen. Just as we've done tonight, led by our musicians, we can sing joyful songs and remember that the Lord defeats our enemies for us. How would you fare if you had to fend for yourself? The songwriter asks. Not well, he tells us. Not well at all. We would have drowned. We would have been captured and eaten. The world would overpower us. Sin would overtake us. And death would close around us. But we are not alone. And he clearly and plainly tells us in the last line of his song, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The raging water of your enemies, the prowling lion of Satan, the sin that threatens to ensnare. The Lord will deliver all who follow him from all of them. Though they are mighty, they are nothing compared to the might of the one who created all things. And who is this one who created all things? Well, Paul tells us as he writes to the Colossian church. He says, Jesus, God's Son, was there when the world was shaped and formed. He says that through him and for him and by him, all things were made and are held together. It is this Lord in whose name we find help and refuge. Jesus has delivered those who follow him from our mighty enemies of sin and death and the world around us by himself being swallowed up, ensnared in death, but escaping and breaking that snare by his resurrection. the Lord Jesus delivers his people from their enemies. Remember, the Lord has not left us to fight alone. Remember, the Lord has defeated our enemies.